The first game is in the books, and now for a triple header today. One thing that really struck me leading up to this tournament is the amount of information produced. It is really hard to keep up with everything. I try to get to what I can, but I felt increasingly overwhelmed in the last 2 weeks. A couple of items I will mention was Fernando Duarte's post at ESPN FC on the new Maracanã. He discussed that some modern renovations were made, but it's still an old stadium and used Wembley as a contrast. The Maracanã tried a facelift, and at Wembley, the Empire Stadium was leveled, and a new modern structure took its place. A couple weeks ago, I had Peter Leggi on the Soccer Nomad podcast, and an item that came up was the World Cup and its legacy to the hosting countries. He has been making the rounds in print and radio about the issues facing Brazil, and I encourage you to search those out. I've been hearing a lot that the government elections could actually be shaped by the performance of the Brazil team in the World Cup, and this ties into a recurring theme of modern South America that David Goldblatt expresses in The Ball is Round. Football and politics are intertwined. Moving on to the opening match, Twitter was abuzz about the opening ceremonies, comments about large trees and flowers and bad sound, so I went to the bar early to check it out, saw some snippets and found some pictures on the Dirty Tackle website. Why are these productions so weird and abstract? I was also able to catch a little bit of ESPN's pregame coverage. Mike Tirico was solid as usual, Alexi Lalas does what he does, and then Martinez brings insight. Gilberto Silva, not so much. My guess is that he will get better as the tournament progresses. I remember when Michael Ballack first joined the ESPN crew, he was a little bit of a nightmare at first, but eventually contributed as time went on. I'm not sure how I felt about the circle of peace before the kickoff, but what about those intros? Straight from the American football production playbook, look at camera, convey intensity, and fold arms. No need for that. I really enjoyed the first half. Croatia momentarily halted the rotation of the earth when Marcelo turned the ball into his own goal. Brazil was definitely wobbling, but Neymar hit a grass cutter off the post to equalize. At that point, I thought Croatia needed to get into the half at 1-1. I really thought that Brazil would score in the first 10 minutes of the second half, but as time ticked away, nothing happened. They seemed to be walking around with very little of the intensity I would expect at such a moment. And then came the incident. For my mind, it was never a penalty. Then to give a yellow on top of that, for me, after the game, I was like, Japan has to be in the round of 16 now because there has to be one hand washing the other. That could be the only explanation. Then Pleticosa almost saved the penalty. There's a lot of talk about his performance. I thought in the first half he played pretty well. I did feel that he jumped a little early on Neymar's shot, and if he'd taken one more step, he might have been able to save it. But he did make a couple saves, especially Oscar's in the first half, I remember was quite good. There was a lot of patty caking. He kept touching the ball down before securing it, which I didn't really like. As for the penalty, you know, maybe he could have had stronger hands. The third goal, you know, Oscar toe-poked it. I didn't really have a problem with it. Going back to the penalty kick, I didn't really like Neymar's walk up the side to side and stutter step. I really thought he was going to miss it. So at that point, you had to ask, would Croatia just take the 2-1 loss, keep the minimal goal differential, or go for it, well, which would open them up in the back. They took it to Brazil and created a couple chances. For me, this is where Croatia failed. I would have continued to go at Brazil instead of sitting back, trying to wait it out. When Croatia were the aggressor, they were in control and kept Brazil on their heels. In the end, Oscar had some gloss after a turnover from Rakitic. I didn't think he had a very good game. As for the game as a whole, Croatia was set up well, and I really enjoyed watching Perisic. Oscar did some nice things, and Neymar was borderline dazzling in the first half. I'm not sure why he didn't get the ball in the more in the second half, but that speaks to sort of the lethargy and the in the game. Were they trying to manage? Was Brazil trying to manage the game, save themselves? I'm not sure, but it was at 1-1. Feels like they have to win, so why didn't they go for it? Tactically, Luis Gustavo dropped in and split the center back, sort of like Busquets does for Barcelona, but there are definitely holes in the back, and team more aggressive and incisive than Croatia is going to open Brazil up. Most importantly, I'm one for one in my World Cup predictions. We had a great crowd at the Black Rose. It was a very different crowd. Clothing was a mixture of casual soccer jerseys and suits. Also a mix of fan support. There were, you know, as I said, there's some jerseys. There are some people there for the World Cup as an event. And some people just there for the conversation. The bar did a drawing for the tickets to the Manchester United-Real Madrid game this summer. I'm often asked, do I have my tickets yet? And I answer, no. I'm very conflicted because it's a straight-up money grab. And I get that as teams look to increase revenues. brand identity and all that. But what are the fans paying for? Game is August 2nd, about 3 weeks after the World Cup final. These players have to go on holiday sometime to avoid burnout. So that will start depending on when they are eliminated from the World Cup. In my mind, when that game in Ann Arbor rolls around, either the big names will be just back from their break or in no condition to play, or you sparingly as it is the all-important International Champions Cup final 48 hours later. The big names simply aren't going to play very much, so I'm not going to pay top dollar to watch Wilson and Keane and Casemiro and Hesse instead of Rooney and Ronaldo and Benzema and all those players. One thing I will mention is that if you can get access to the training sessions, that is worth it. It probably won't be the highest intensity, but the quality of these players really comes through. So my plan is to go to Ann Arbor. The tailgate and the camaraderie of the day will totally be worth it. Hopefully it'll be on TV. I'll watch the game, then hang out with everyone on the way back to Lansing. To cap the day off, I had an over 40 game. My afternoon was not the best preparation. The first half was a real struggle for me. I usually take great care and stretch and warm up before the game. I didn't do that and just tried to get moving. Paid the price a little bit with a little bit of a hamstring pull. Second half was better for me. I was able to do a little bit more in the match and then was off to Leo's for post-game refreshment. Can I ask why they're building a goddamn walkway next to Jolly between Aurelius and Dunkel when the roads in Lansing suck and at the intersection of Jolly and Aurelius they're particularly awful? There's already a sidewalk on the other side. It seems like a huge waste of precious resources. Okay, let's not spoil a great day and great days to come. Finishing my morning cup of coffee and then figuring out where to watch the games today. Mexico, Cameroon, Spain, Holland, Chile, Australia. All should be interesting games and I plan to share my thoughts tomorrow. Ta-ta!